Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that likes to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, he's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chad, throw the match. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Friday. Yacht Rock Friday for Jeffrey Rust. Okay. A tweet that caught my eye and attention today from Sports Business Radio. This is Brian Berger.
Mm-hmm.
Should be noted. Former Blazer employee. A hell of a nice guy as well. He tweeted this out. I spoke with someone this week that tells me Jody Allen is unlikely to sell the Trailblazers to Phil Knight. A bridge to a sale was seriously damaged. Allen is also becoming more entrenched in NBA circles and is on the NBA's CBA committee representing small market teams. The New York Post story angered Jody Allen. We remember that one, right? It was the Phil Knight hit piece on the Blazers, where
which was followed, bookended by the Ron Wyden quasi hit piece the day before.
What did refresh us on Ron Wyden?
That was the we'd really like to see Phil Knight get involved and save the team and make sure they keep him in Portland and his relationship with Adam Silver. Remember, all those things were discussed, and I was like, that was the gentle easing, and then there was the New York Post baseball bat.
Yeah, which it said, you know, former Blazers president Larry Miller, and then Larry Miller like bashed ownership and the direction of the franchise.
Former Trailblazers president, current Nike executive.
Yep, they failed to mention that part, that Larry Miller ran the Jordan brand before and after his time with the Blazers. So that the Post goes, the New York Post story angered Jody Allen. Burt Cold loves being involved with the Trailblazers and is also reluctant to encourage a sale anytime soon. Adding on, it's worth noting the Trailblazers arena lease is up following the 2024-25 NBA season. The city of Portland could work with the team to extend the lease short term under the current terms, or if a new owner did buy the team, the owner's new ownership could work out a new lease.
I mean, I would say that all signs point to the franchise being sold.
Yeah. What about that 15 to 20 years that it takes to untangle these things?
Yeah. I have a reeling suspicion that a $3 billion offer would untangle it very quickly.
Yeah. And so this is an interesting little report from Sports Business Radio,
because this didn't come from Woj. This didn't come from Shams. This didn't come from a major newsbreaker like the Athletic, like Sam Amick, or a narrative guy, or Mark Stein, or any other NBA newsbreaker. It came from Brian Berger, former Portland Trailblazers employee and current guy running Sports Business Radio.
Sports Business Radio, yeah. Is this a big deal or not? That's a question that I am racking around in my head, because, like, it's also just stating the obvious. The obvious is, dude, of course Jody Allen's going to be upset about that New York Post piece. Of course she knows where it comes. If us idiots can connect the dots to it,
they put out a press release the day before.
She's able to connect the dots and know where it came from and know that this is going to affect any sort of Paul Allen relationship. But does Phil Knight relationship, does this though, change the fact that if Phil Knight wants the team, he will not own that team. Because that's kind of the sense that you get, that a sale to Phil Knight, a bridge has been burned with that New York Times piece or New York Post piece.
I hate to break it to anybody. Billionaires don't like each other. They're not all buddy-buddy. They're not all friends. If the number's right, the number's right. And I tell you this, the league wants Phil Knight.
Well, the league does want Phil Knight, but they will also, if Phil Knight isn't the highest bid, you know, if Phil Knight comes in with the highest bid and Jody Allen says no,
the league is going to tell her no.
And they do have that right because yes. They approve the ownership groups.
Yes.
If Phil Knight has the biggest, the largest bid.
But it's not even just the largest bid, but it's the best bid.
And it is a person in a group, obviously, with Alan Smolinski, that if they do want that thing, and it is the largest bid, and the other owners in the league and the league itself wants Phil Knight to be a part of it, it's going to be very hard for Jody Allen to say no to that. But the easy part here is that if somebody else comes over the top and they give a bigger bid than Phil Knight, and Jody Allen does have the right to go with that, and the other owners will probably agree, because guess what happens to the value of their team if a bidding war breaks out?
The only thing is they're going to look at the financial solvency of ownership. And with a Phil Knight, much like with the Waltons and with the Broncos, you're bringing in more money than anybody else.
Yeah.
Phil Knight comes to the table. What's Phil Knight valued at right now?
I think last time I saw it was like between like 20, 21 billion.
43.8 billion.
That's a lot.
He's day one. He's the richest owner outside of Steve Ballmer.
It's $43 billion?
Yep.
Wow.
So.
That is a lot of money.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. So, again, the idea of like, well, somebody else could come over the top. Sure. But what does the league want?
If he wants it, he'll get it.
And that's the thing is, and not only that, the league wants more, not just Phil Knight, but they want, every league wants owners at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
Like it's one thing to have guys at like worth $2, 3, 4, 5 billion. Like that's not mess around money. They want dumb money. They want the absolutely crazy beyond everything money.
And they know that this isn't for 20 years too.
Yeah,
because he's obviously not going to be 115 years old owning a basketball team.
And there's going to be somebody else behind him, which I'm wondering who that third name really is. Because I've heard conflicting reports about who else would be as a part of that group besides Smolinski.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to be a minority shareholder. Does it go to Matthew? Like, does it go beyond that? I'm sorry, not... what's his other kid?
I don't know his son's names. I know Matthew's the one that died.
Yes, I know. I meant to say Matthew because obviously Matthew and I could read
it
at Oregon.
The one who runs the animation studio?
Yes, thank you. Does it go to him? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
What would be interesting is what does that succession plan look like? Because, again, he's not a spring chicken.
But that is kind of beyond the point, though, of they just want the association with him. And even if it does just hand over to Smolinski, eventually in ownership shares do or wherever they go, they want one association with the richest man. And let's be honest, one of the most powerful men in all of sports, like
yes.
Not the NBA, not the NFL, not MLB, sports. Not soccer in the globally. World of sport. Phil Knight is, he is one of the most powerful men. Doesn't matter if he's 85, if he stepped away and his role has been passed on at Nike in large part, even though he does still have an office there.
Mm-hmm.
Like Phil Knight is a power name and he's a power broker and he's a deep pocket and people want to be associated with that for however long they can be. That is what you want. And then also it keeps team in a city where you don't want for the NBA to have another Sonic situation.
They won't. And I know that always comes up, but that would absolutely anchor it beyond any shadow of a doubt.
And those things are important. I don't know about what the timing of all of this means, though, because that's the other important thing to think about here. Why?
It's funny that this is leaking today.
Yeah. Why is this a conversation that is being had? It may just be Brian Berger was talking with somebody and was like, okay. It may be as simple as that.
Or it's intentional.
It is very, everything is very
because
intentional
remember,
if you want something to get out.
The very first statement we got from Jody Allen ever came out of the blue about the team not being for sale and unwinding the will and all this stuff. We're like, what the hell is this? There's nothing. And then the next day, we got the Ron Wyden piece.
Mm-hmm. And then we got the New York Post.
I would imagine if this is coming out right now, there's something brewing somewhere about the Blazers being closer to being for sale.
All right. So it's
I think it's all public posturing.
It's not a big deal. I don't think that, you know, if you hear this or you read this, that it means anything to the sort of Phil Knight will not get the team.
No.
It's just that as of right now, it's not something that they want to do.
It reads very much as, again, get that number to $3 billion.
Three bills.
All right.
Let's do it. I mean, it's easy for me to say. It's not my money. Like, Phil, come on, man.
You have 40 extra to spare.
Yeah, you have $40 billion.
My God.
Billion dollars.
Insane.
Can I have this request, though, for whoever buys the team? And I don't care. As long as they get this done, you buy the team.
You give me a parking spot.
And you... Oh, that'd be cool, too. Okay, how about for this recommendation, also give me a parking spot just for this recommendation. Buy up as much land as you can around it, too, even if you have to overpay it.
Yes.
And develop the S out of that.
Yes.
And you'll make way more money.
Well, that's what they brought Smolinski in for, was that part of it.
That's what his teeth were cut on.
Oh, my God. Total derailment here.
Okay.
Have you seen the new, like, living campus at USC as part of the land?
Yes.
Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
It's like its own town. It's also its own little self-contained town.
Yeah, he did that because people had nowhere to live.
No, because it was number one, it was underdeveloped. Number two, it was stupid expensive.
Yeah.
So, right. But they did that, and it's unbelievable. It's like a self-contained little tennis board on campus.
USC kids don't have a problem paying for a living.
No, most of them don't.
There's a reason why it's called the University of Spoiled Children.
How dare you?
I didn't come up with that.
Listen, I didn't deny it.
I wish I could. I'd get a parking spot at UCLA for it.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Wrong side of town.
How Sean... We're calling Brentwood the wrong side of town. How Sean McVay won the Super Bowl from Cabo San Lucas next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Get closer and closer to kickoff. We have more pieces kind of coming out, like the dog days of training camp are upon us, where it's like there's only so many times we could talk about how many times Tua overthrows wide open receivers. And
but it's fun to watch every video.
It really is,
because it was just whack, 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 whack.
Or how many articles about, you know, Matthew Stafford's elbow
falling off,
feeling weird and being
his arms falling off.
But Seth Wickersham has a little piece out, and this is interesting because we heard about it on the pregame show for the Super Bowl this past year, and I said, whoa, 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 that sounds like tampering, if I've ever heard of tampering.
Perhaps.
You tell me this. How is
convenient?
How is what Stephen Ross did tampering with Tom Brady and with Sean Payton? But this is not tampering between Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford.
International waters, man.
Yeah, I guess so. It was, they even said it right before the Super Bowl in the pregame show about how Sean McVay had gone down to Cabo San Lucas for a vacation after they lost to the Packers. And Matthew Stafford was down there on vacation as well. And like in like a private pool area, McVay like swam over and they hatched this plan to get Stafford from Detroit to LA.
I mean, let's be honest. That's how most of this stuff happens.
But that does sound a lot like tampering.
It does, but this is how, like, and this is NFL, NBA, MLB. This is how trades are done. It's like a lot of just circumstances. Just, hey, what about this?
But as this kind of gets unfurled by Seth Wickersham, I find myself in these quotes from Sean McVay, I kind of like am down for it. I want to play for Sean McVay too. Here's how it all went down according to the article. They met for drinks poolside talking football, a bond forged over sun and booze. You had me at sun and booze. Okay.
McVay, go on.
McVay returned to his hotel and, quote, a few tequilas in. He now says he hopped on a FaceTime with Rams Brass. This is Les Snead, right? We know this. Rams Brass unleashing a plea that's now legendary around the team's office. Here's how it went. Quote, here's the effing deal, okay? We can sit here and exist and be okay winning 9-11 games and losing the effing divisional round and feel like, oh, everything's okay. Or we could let our MFing nuts hang and go trade for this effing quarterback and give ourselves a chance to win an effing world championship. Are you ready to effing do this or what? End quote.
It's a great quote. I'm not going to lie. I hear myself and McVay when I hear this, as far as like looking back at the Blazers the last couple of years, like, are you ready to make a big move?
Are you ready to do this or not?
It makes sense.
Yeah. And here's the thing is that Les Snead was catching heat. Sean McVay was catching heat because he went to bat. And this all kind of surrounded around, they handcuffed themselves after going to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff and saying, he's good enough to get us there. And then looking down the barrel of that contract and going, oh, no, he's not. He's not good enough to get us there. We need to improve the quarterback position. And I love everything about this story. Like, happenstance. You're in Cabo at the same time as Matthew Stafford. You get together with the guy and you start getting housed with him and you realize,
dude, do you want to get the hell out of Detroit?
Yeah. And the answer was, yeah.
Yeah. LA? Yeah. You guys? Yeah. Because if you read the next paragraph, last fall, not pushback. Stafford was an obvious upgrade and within days he was a Ram. So you have to understand that from both sides, everybody was like, yeah, no, this all tracks. This makes sense.
It never ceases to amaze me how these deals get done, right?
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Because we tend to overthink the room, right? This is why when, you know, fans and media like get drunk on the NBA trade machine, it's like, dude, you're overthinking it way too much here.
You don't need to include that. It's just literally this.
Sometimes it is as easy and as hard. And this is why relationships matter.
Let's take a perfect one here locally. Jeremy Grant for a 2025 first round pick.
Relationships matter. You have got to be able to get on the phone with somebody and be like, look, man, this is the key to, you know, staying in the NBA, Danny Ainge and what he does.
Yep.
He's able to relate to the other GMs because everybody's like, how does everybody get fleeced? Ainge gets on the phone with somebody who wants to get out of something and knows it and says, hey,
here's your option.
Let's go. And I will help you if you will help me out. And usually Danny Ainge does it for himself, but it's a relationship and it's getting everybody to pull in the same direction. And that is what Sean McVay, he obviously is able to do it with his locker room.
Yep.
And he was able to do it in a couple of days in Cabo with Matthew Stafford.
Look at the pictures of Jeremy Grant, Josh Hart, and Yusuf Nurkic. There's certainly a relationship there. But also the idea of Grant coming over here, because he had a great relationship not only with guys he was going to join, he had great relationships with guys in Detroit, in Troy Weaver.
Yeah.
He was a good soldier. He did his thing. In Stafford, he did his thing in Detroit. He put it on the line. He played for him. He never complained publicly. He did his thing. And I think those relationships, like, just, again, coming together at the right place at the right time, where everybody feels like that they're being taken care of.
Yeah.
That's what always makes these deals so interesting. And if you ever get a GM on a polygraph, they're going to end up telling you, like, it's not this grand plan. It's just we stumble into stuff from time to time.
Yeah.
Realistically, you do. Yeah. Now, you can strategically stumble into stuff more often.
Yeah.
Certainly. And being better prepared. But that's how a lot of this stuff happens. You crack open a soda and make a phone call.
And it was like they hatched the plan to get Stafford out of Detroit. And it's like, I wonder how that call between GMs in LA and Detroit went, because you're sitting there and you're going,
because I would imagine Stafford's agent probably played a part in this as well. Like, hey,
oh,
we're on board, guys.
Well, and this was it, is that, you know, that conversation between me, and this is why I say, how is this not tampering? McVay and Stafford are like, hey, how do we get this thing done? How do we make this thing happen? It is, all right, you've got to demand a trade and say, I want to go to one place and one place only. And say all of the things that you just said about Matthew Stafford and what he'd done in Detroit, and being the soldier, playing injured, going through a contract, sticking it out there and saying, look, you guys are obviously rebuilding. Go through and actually do the damn thing.
Get some draft picks.
And we'll be good with you. And on my way out, I won't do what Calvin Johnson did. I won't do what Barry Sanders did.
You can actually put my name up on the wall and I'll acknowledge it.
Which is acknowledge how much you guys have burnt me, because that's what Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders did say. What I will do is I will go out and I will go out in good graces, because you guys will finally help me out.
He's got a T-Mobile commercial talking about how much he loves them.
And I think that this is huge, though, in that when Matthew Stafford left, it was like, I have nothing but great things to say about Detroit. And if you're Dan Campbell and you're wanting to reset a culture, how do you do that? By saying, guys, it's not a prison sentence when you come here. You're not coming here for life and we're going to pull one over on you.
It's not football Siberia.
Yeah. You change the culture by saying, if you do right by us, we'll do right by you.
Yep.
And that's exactly what Detroit ended up doing with Matthew Stafford.
Relationships. It's becoming so evident of how much it matters.
Ah, man. Yep. That's great. It's crazy to think about. It is crazy to think about. And the way that it all worked out, it worked out in the Super Bowl for the Rams. And
everything else is gravy at this point, right? You agree.
It's working out for the Lions too.
Yeah.
You know, they F them picks from Les Snead. Those picks going to Detroit.
That capital makes sense for a team like Detroit, who, well, they've not done well with some of those picks from time to time. They need them.
Yeah. I love this. I love all of it.
I could read this kind of stuff, transactional, like behind the scenes transactional stuff, forever. Like, just be on the fly. Like that scene in Moneyball when he's going back and forth over, was it trading Pena? Mm-hmm. I love that scene. I love that. You know, the whole idea of like, refill our vending machine for the rest of the year and we'll call it good. Like, I wonder like what kind of stuff like gets thrown into deals, and not stuff just anything like that, but like what the back and forth looks like, like how far off one valuation is to another. And I'm sure those phone calls get hung up on real quick.
Yeah.
But I would love to hear the bartering back and forth of that, what that banter really sounds like.
503-250-1080. That's the fan text line. This text is, I think the reason why it's not tampering is that the Lions had given Stafford permission to seek a trade. The timeline is where the gray area is.
It's a little vague.
He was
given permission to seek a trade after he requested a trade.
And then boom.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
And I think this, because both franchises are happy that nobody's going to say anything about tampering.
Another one says Ross contacted Brady and Peyton to specifically discuss the plan. McVay and Stafford just happened to meet. No planned meetings.
International waters, as I'm telling you.
But they came up with a plan. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, yeah, they just happened to be there. And that's why the Brian Flores thing from Ross was, hey, bump in. Hey, come to the dock
yeah.
and bump into, you know, Tom Brady with me and we'll make this thing happen. That's there is a big difference between what Ross and McVay did because of a planned attack in this. It's still, if you're formulating a plan to get a guy out of town, that's tampering. And it happened.
But both teams
are happy with it.
Exactly. That's the thing is I think if both teams end up ultimately being okay with it, I'm okay with it.
Bingo. All right. The worst day on the web, fair or foul, a Commanders reporter catching it from both sides. Here's Rust.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
What a great song. This is from what? A Greatest American Hero. Yeah. I can't believe was this intentional to put this song in? Because the guy who may be having the worst day on the web right now is you, Jeff Rust.
Worst day in the studio.
The song started, I can't believe this would happen to me. And hot mic, Jeff Rust.
Hot mic.
Yeah. You've been called a rookie on the fan text line, 503-250-1080.
I've only been floating around here 15 years.
The guy who's been here for 2 months didn't have it. My problem is not flipping my mic back on. I'm terrified of hot miking in the commercial.
Oh, yeah. Hey, if you're not swearing, it's okay, Rust. Great hot mic moment.
That's the problem is that I have a foul mouth. Mm. I do. Military ruined me.
Oh.
It did.
I wasn't in the military. I have a foul mouth, too. Like so.
I try to... You know, what's really funny is when I started doing media stuff, I always used to ask, like, how do you not swear on the radio or on TV? And then you do it and you're like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You just don't do it.
You just try and, well, sometimes it happens. That's why you have to trust Jeff Rust to be paying attention.
Trust Rust.
I'm sorry, what's that?
And there we go.
Door creaks open, and that's your next paycheck, Danny.
It's time for the worst day on the web. This comes from 7 DC News in Washington, D.C. Wow, look at that. Scott Abraham is a reporter, sports reporter, and he sat down with Carson Wentz. And I don't know if Scott maybe just got caught up in like the hardball political lifestyle landscape in D.C.
That's definitely what it feels like.
But we are going to put him to trial here because Scott Abraham is getting, actually, he's getting praise and drug for the way he conducted this interview with Carson Wentz. Take a listen. We have two clips, and then we will go from there with our judgments. I must let everybody know right now that when you hear consistently inconsistent in this, he's sitting right next to Carson Wentz in a one-on-one interview doing the air quotes. He's putting up the finger air quotes around this. And so that will give you a better feeling of his body language during this.
There's been kind of a narrative out there here in training camp that you've been a little inaccurate on your throws. Consistently inconsistent has been a kind of a terminology. How would you assess your performance in training camp? And is that characterization fair?
Yeah, I mean, for one, it's camp. You know, I think I didn't know that, so thank you.
Yep. But I know you told me you don't read that stuff.
At the same time, I'm my biggest critic. So I come back after practice, yeah, and I'm kicking myself over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plays, you know.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I thought Carson Wentz handled that very well.
Not bad. Very solid.
I don't think the question was unfair. Adding air quotes to anything is something. But I also don't really believe Carson Wentz when he says he hasn't heard anything about his consistency in his accuracy.
I believe no one but James Harden. What? James Harden is the only one I believe that's not actually on social media, because he's not actually ever on social media ever.
Well, I don't believe it because you watch practice tape. I can guarantee you I know at least one person.
You've got an actual snort.
I know that one person that is definitely not letting him off the hook, and it's his offensive coordinator, is he probably roasting him about his consistency in practice, because you have to be real when watching film.
He needs a Tyreek Hill in his life. That's what he needs.
Jeez. But I also don't think that there's nothing wrong with the question being asked, right, of his consistency issues. It's how you ask it, right?
Yes.
It's the manner in which you say, like, the idea that, and he kind of sounds smug. The reporter does sound a little smug.
There's
here.
A little bit of smugness in clip one. The smugness overfloweth in clip two.
Okay. And this is where you go down the road of there is tact to be had here.
Real talk here, Carson.
Whoa.
It's been well documented. Philly didn't want you. Indy didn't want you. Do you think this is your last chance to prove that you can be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, I don't really think about all that stuff. For me, I'm playing the game that I love, and I have the most confidence of anybody in myself to deliver, to play at a high level, to, you know, be a part of something special here with this team. And so I don't put all that pressure on myself. I don't put, you know, people can feel that way. People can say what they want, and I have no issue with that. You know, that is what it is. But for me, I don't think in those terms.
Wow. That one's bad. That one is bad. Like, listen to the way that this starts.
Real talk here, Carson.
Real talk here.
It's been well documented.
And he's clapping the back of his hand on each one of those. That's what that sound is. So, because the visual of his, and he's kind of slumping in his chair. Like, everything about his body language says, like, I'm going to take this guy out back and paddle him.
Yeah. I don't get that.
Definitely has drunk stepdad vibes.
Or like, just a kind of a D-bag. Like, if we're being honest.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, a D-canoe.
But, again, it's tacked in the way that you're asking the question. Like, the reason why people are upset isn't that you ask the question. It's how you ask the question, right?
Changing it from they didn't want you here, they didn't want you here very clearly to, hey, clearly it didn't work out for you in Philadelphia. Nor in Indianapolis. Why is it going to be different here in Washington?
And if you're Carson Wentz, you could be like, well, I don't think it was that they didn't want me when I was on the cusp of winning an MVP with that team.
That's going to be what I mean. Like, it almost sounds like, and that doesn't sound like, the interviewer is unprepared to ask that question.
Really? Because I read that as, I think that this guy has been waiting to ask it for the shock value just like
think
this
so?
To get it out.
It could be.
Yeah, because, I mean, you don't do the air quotes and the slapping at the back of the hand like you were saying. Like, in that is he's asking the questions. Mm-hmm. He's doing this like, didn't want you in Philly, didn't want you in Indy. What makes this going to be anything different? Well, it kind of feels like he did it, right?
You think this is a little bit of Chris Everett, Jim Everett?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was waiting for his moment.
Waiting for the moment to poke the bear?
Yeah, except for there wasn't a table that Carson Wentz would throw at him.
That's what, maybe that's what he was hoping for.
But this has solicited responses on both sides, whether it is fair or unfair, what he's doing, right?
It is, and I will say this. Carson Wentz handled that. If I was a PR agency, I'd A+.
Yeah.
A+. No notes. Handled it as well as you possibly could have.
But Jason Wright, the Washington Commanders team president,
he didn't like it.
No.
Not one bit.
And this kind of may give you an idea of maybe the background locally of what this reporter's like. Because the very first sentence of his statement, Jason Wright's, that is, says, quote, "I recognize you've made a living on childlike provocation, but it needs to be called out. Don't expect special access and good luck building rapport with our guys."
This is akin to, for those that maybe don't understand this, this is like Joe Cronin coming out after somebody roasting Damian Lillard and being like, "Oh, okay, dude, good luck with that."
Yeah, but I mean, and this is the thing is that, and it goes in the statement from Wright, he went on to say, like, you know, it's not that these guys can't take criticism, just be a journalist and follow standard practices. Others have found a way to do both, right? Where you can ask tough questions, but not come off so bad. I wonder if, like, the Commanders are actually liking this because all of a sudden their quarterback is looking like a sympathetic figure in a sense, because he handled it like a pro, just like you said. He went and was thorough with his answers as to why and why not, and gave a thoughtful response.
He didn't dodge it. He answered it directly.
Yeah. But those are the questions that I think questions like this do need to be asked to players, because there are, you've been there, you've been in these scrums. Like, there are so many softballs get lobbed their way
more often than not. And I have taken this stance, and anybody who's watched the podcast when I've had players on, that the same questions that I ask players publicly are the same ones that I ask them privately. I genuinely believe that, because, I mean, a perfect example. I mean, I talk about stuff openly, and that's because I don't want to ever get caught in that in-between.
Yeah.
I said something about Yusuf Nurkic not being as good as DeAndre Ayton in the summertime, and Yusuf Nurkic called me an idiot. Like,
I don't think you are.
But I mean, I'll say the same thing to his face, and that's just, like, I wonder if he's like the interviewer here is being a character, or if he genuinely believes those things.
Yeah,
because the way that's presented, it feels either ill prepared or over prepared. I think it's probably like
instead of natural.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't hit right, and not because it's awkward. Like, sometimes asking difficult questions, like, even if you did want to say they didn't want you in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. they didn't want you in Indiana. Even if you follow that up with, it's very clear they didn't want you, because of, then you fill in the gaps. Why?
Yeah.
Then you kind of go into it. I think it changes the tone of it, even if it is harsh criticism.
Yeah. Well,
and that's even entirely fair.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could just frame that question as, you know, a franchise quarterback doesn't often get traded three times in their career. Does this feel like your last opportunity after what happened in Philly, what happened in Indy, and now you're here in Washington?
You can document the low points and the lost locker rooms and all that kind of stuff. But it feels haphazardly. That's why I keep going with underprepared, because it's just kind of like, they didn't want you. They didn't want you here. They didn't want you there. Well, why didn't they want you? Like, there's the lack of framing, and just, it feels almost like a Twitter-esque.
It's a gotcha moment. Like, he was waiting. He was wanting a reaction. That's why your Chris Everett, Jim Rome interview, or the Chris Everett, Jim Rome interview. That it does have that feel of, I'm doing something just to see how far you will go.
And being thrown through a wall is not as far as Carson Wentz was going to go.
No. Handled it like a pro. I don't know. If I'm that Abraham dude, though, I'm watching out, because I remember the first couple of years of Carson Wentz and how skilled of a hunter he is.
I was going to say this. Maybe you go off the Commanders beat and maybe go on the Wizards beat for a season.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I mean, which is worse?
Probably
the Wizards, because there's 82 of them.
Wizards. But at the same time, the stuff you have to report about with the Commanders, it's actually probably pretty good to report on the
That's what I mean. Like,
Commanders, because you get content.
Yeah.
It's weird content.
The Wizards give you 82 of
snoozers.
Likely bad games. Yeah. Maybe that's the punishment from the sports producer.
Way to go, Scott Abraham. You are having the worst day on the web today, even though it feels like he's doubling down on it.
I mean, human nature is to like do it. That. Yeah. So, not surprising.
All right. We knew he was going to be good, but Adley Rutschman, better than advertised, next on The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
The number one prospect in all of baseball heading into this year was Adley Rutschman, and the Sherwood and Oregon State product. It's fair to say that his rookie year with the Orioles, living up to the hype, my man.
Delivering. He came out of the gates struggling a little bit at the plate. Mm-hmm. Nothing too bad. Just not maybe setting the world on fire. The one thing everybody noticed was the vibes. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The Orioles have kept it going and are right there in the wild card hunt still.
Even as being sellers at the deadline.
Yes. And I would attribute most of that improvement, because it's pretty linear, to Adley Rutschman being called up full time to the big club, because he's maybe the best pitch framer in all of baseball at day one, as insane as that is. If you look at the tracking stats, I believe he's in the 95th percentile in pitch framing right now among catchers. Mm. So for those that are wondering, that's really good. But he came up. He exited June after his call-up, but 2 weeks into the season. He was batting .220, or his hitting slashes were .220, .287, .407.
That's good.
Which, not bad for a rook, not bad at all, with 3 home runs in 32 games. Conversely, Julio Rodriguez of Mariners fame has spent the entire season in the Mariners, got called up in spring training, has been at .272, .333, .466 slash, with 13 home runs in 77 games, which Julio Rodriguez right now is the presumptive American League Rookie of the Year winner.
J-Rod.
However, Adley Rutschman has been on a absolute tear over the last 32 games, hitting, slashing .284, .439, .541, and leading Major League Baseball in on-base percentage since the All-Star break, while charting more walks than strikeouts, 27-20, mm-hmm. in his last 32 games.
See, that is where I think you can get lost in numbers when you're talking baseball, but there is something to when Adley Rutschman arrived, they started winning.
Yes.
And they just became
winners. Linear line that they just got better.
It's an attitude shift. It's an adjustment change. And there's, you know, they talk about it all the time, the it factor. Who has it? You could tell that both these guys that we're talking about for the Rookie of the Year, and this may be the fun part about it, is that the last man standing in the wild card race may be the one who gets the Rookie of the Year,
yep.
which would be cool. That's a great thing as we're sitting here in mid-August looking at the final month and a half of baseball. It could come down the Rookie of the Year.
To baseball mattering.
Have in matter, because the Rookie of the Year will be wild card spots, mm-hmm. and they have, selfishly, local connections with Julio Rodriguez in Seattle and the homegrown kid in Adley Rutschman mm-hmm. here from Sherwood, went to Oregon State, and we've seen him grow
yep.
in from this highly touted prospect that, oh, by the way, he's going to kick for the football team at Oregon State, to being the number one pick and being the number one prospect and then living up to all of it.
He's
that's
lived up
badass.
To the hype every step of the way. That's uncommon in baseball. That doesn't typically happen.
And one guy that, I mean, he's probably not going to be mentioned really at all for actually winning Rookie of the Year, but his team is 59-52, leading the AL Central, and Stephen Kwan is having a hell of a year as well.
All he does is hit singles, but he's
hitting .300.
But it's the thing is, I don't say that as a bad thing. He is just an on base machine.
Yeah,
machine.
He's not getting nearly the hype that anybody else is, but he's another beef. From Oregon State, and you look at mm-hmm. what he's doing right now, you know, all those numbers that you were reading off, the strikeout rate for Kwan is incredible. It's like in
both
this
Rutschman
age of
and Kwan both have better walk rates than strikeout rates, which is not common, not in today's game, and especially not for young players.
And he's hitting .300 in 409 plate appearances. He only has 36 strikeouts this year, Stephen Kwan does.
Jeez.
Should probably...
There are guys with more than that in each month right now.
You want to hold on to him. He's going to be good. He's going to be really good for you. So But Adley Rutschman, if he can hold on to this thing and he can be have the season that he's having and continue to do it. And look, Julio Rodriguez, he should be that guy as well.
Yep.
And he had that moment at the All-Star game and All-Star weekend where, one, he was an All-Star. Two, the home run derby was electric.
Showed out.
It was great. But if Adley Rutschman can literally drag the Orioles from the bottom of the baseball into a wild card spot, we could have a conversation for the last month and a half of the year. It's really cool to see.
It's very cool to see. And I'll say this about Rutschman in general, because we talk about pitching being the most important thing in baseball, and more often than not it is. But when you get a generational catcher, because catching is downplayed so much, because the difference between most catchers isn't that great. But when you get a truly generational one, a Buster Posey, a Yadi Molina, or in this case, maybe an Adley Rutschman, when you get a guy who gets a staff who, after every single...
Salvi Perez.
Yeah, Salvador Perez. Like, when you get a guy that can control a staff in a certain way, and again, the vibes. This is a guy who, after every single game, gets up off behind the plate, jogs out to his pitcher, and gives him a big hug and a smile. Regardless,
I think he's a kid.
But I mean, you can see it, and I don't want that to be lost.
Yeah, good point. All right, hour number two in the books. We start hour number three. How bad the initial ruling was on Deshaun Watson? He's actually willing to take a lot harsher punishment to get away from this thing. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.